Right, so there we go. Welcome back. This is Radio Pulpit, your daily companion from Gauteng to the Cape, and it's such an awesome privilege once again this evening to spend time with you right here on 657 AM, or of course DSTV, your social media, or perhaps you are seeing these two beautiful faces on internet, on on Facebook. Well, I don't know if I'm a beautiful face, but Rev Paul definitely is a beautiful face. And
yes,
I think
you are.
Well, you are Beauty and the Beast. Let's say Beauty and the Beast. Can we settle with that?
No, you beautiful too, with all your beard there. God says we're fearfully and wonderfully made. So.
All right. Well, Rev, how are you? How have you been?
I'm great. I'm always great, Dwayne. No matter what the case is, I'm always great. Every day I wake up, I said, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. So as long as we're alive, breathing, you know, it's a great day. And even when we leave this world and are no longer breathing, it'll be an even greater day because we will be with our Father in heaven. So every day is great.
Well, Rev, I know that we've got only limited time available, and we want to do as much as possible regarding this. I think from the onset, yeah, let me create a platform. Before we went on air, myself and Rev, before we recorded, I was hoping inside of me that the discussion topic was a specific thing. And we didn't chat to each other before this recording. And when Rev just told me what it's going to be about, I'll be bluntly honest with you. I, there's a party in my heart and in my soul, because I've learned from the best, and her name is Reverend Paul Coupe, on how we should use our voices for the greater good of the kingdom. Now, Rev, before I give the mic over to you, I, on Friday evening, took a bold stand on social media, and I posted a specific article I am not okay with this. And the article was all about me and my house will choose to serve the Lord, and I will no longer remain silent in the presence of all of these things, and I will be a voice for the world. Now, Rev, that specific post has been shared more than 600 times. The post have sort of gone viral.
Yeah.
And of course, knowing we do what we do, we've been doing this for a while now, everybody's not going to like the post. And we've had some people agreeing, but we've also had some people disagreeing. And one of the biggest disagreements that I've had, before I give you the mic, was the person said that, Dwayne, why are you doing this? God does not need defending. Keep quiet. That's all I'm going to say. And then I'm going to give the mic over to you now.
Yeah. Okay, great. Well, thank you for that introduction, Dwayne. And also thank you for taking that bold stand of deciding and determining not to be silent. It is a stance and a stand that we as believers must take. Mm. It's not a recommendation. We are required to be salt. We're required to be light. We are required to occupy, do business until he comes. And so it's not a stance that, you know, really we can say, I'm going to be silent. The issue that was put to Esther, when she was required to speak at a time when a whole generation was about to be annihilated, Mordecai said this to Esther. He said, if you remain silent in such a time, God said he will raise up another. It ensures that I don't remain silent. It ensures that I never remain silent, because ultimately, I never want to be substituted. I don't want to be replaced by anybody. So, but I'm glad you started off on this, that somebody made the point to say, why are you defending God? He does not need to be defended. And you know what, Dwayne? That person is absolutely right, 100% correct. God does not need to be defended. He does not. He knows how to defend himself. He created everything, so he can defend himself. But let me say this. We're not defending God because he can defend himself. We are defending the faith, the faith. So make a distinction between defending God and defending the faith. Now, God is the one who instructs us in his word to say, you must defend and contend. In fact, the word that's used in Jude 1:3 is to contend for the faith. That is not a suggestion. It is not a recommendation. It is an instruction. And it's an instruction to all believers. Jude 1:3 reads as follows. It says, "Dearly loved friend, I was fully intending to write to you about our amazing salvation we all participate in, but felt the need instead to challenge you, to challenge you, to challenge you." So get this, believers, to challenge you to do what? To vigorously defend and contend for the beliefs that we cherish. For God, through the apostles, has once for all entrusted these truths to his holy believers. So there you have it, friends. God has entrusted the contention of faith to us. He does not expect us to be silent. He does not, we're not defending God. We are defending the faith, because God can never be mocked. God is not mocked. That's what the Bible says. God can never be mocked. If you think you're mocking God, you're not mocking God. You are trying to mock the faith, but God can never be mocked, ever, ever, ever. So I think we need to put that in proper perspective, that there's no way that, how can creation defend the creator? I mean, really, it's just not, it's not possible. It's God who defends us. It's God who protects us. But God has entrusted us with the responsibility and accountability of defending the faith. And I'm going to talk about later, how do we do that? But first, I want to set the scene, because I said to you at the beginning, I want to talk about Paris Olympics and the opening ceremony, because this has been a trending thing. And I also want to use this aspect of the Paris Olympics opening ceremony to show us what are the lessons that we learned from that. And what does it mean to contend for the faith? Let's talk about it within the context of not defending God, but defending the faith, contending for the faith, which is our spiritual responsibility and accountability. So just to give a background, maybe for some who may not have heard, is that recently there's been this huge uproar, and I just finished writing an article in Joy Magazine. So in the September issue, you'll see exactly. Also, I'm talking about this in the September article issue. So there was a huge, huge uproar, you know, on Friday. Everybody, I didn't watch it personally, the Olympics, but I saw enough to know what had happened. And there was a huge uproar that was created globally around the world. I saw some of my friends from the United States, some of my friends from the Netherlands, all different nations commenting on this. And this had to do with the opening ceremony in France at the Paris Olympics. This was on Friday, 26th July, just recently, 2024, obviously. And Christians all over the world were grieved. They were offended by what was a clear mockery and parody of our Christian faith and values. So people who've been commenting have not been defending God. Again, I want to say, and I was one of them who commented, you know, several Christian leaders. I know you commented, you made some statements. A lot of our Christian leaders in the faith here in South Africa also commented. I saw a press release from a good friend of mine, Bert Pretorius, who's the senior pastor of 3C Church. He released a press release. Another friend of mine, Apostle Peter DeFin from Acts Christian Church, I saw he also released something on social media commenting. Another friend of mine also, Pastor John Robert of Choose Life, Pastor John Raybert of Choose Life Church also made a comment on social media. And now it explains why we're friends, because obviously we have similar kind of values and similar understanding of the Christian faith. And they all went public. And even the Joy Magazine editor, who's another good friend of mine, Erin Georgiou, also, she made comments. And they went public with their protests, protesting against the Paris Olympic opening. Interestingly enough, Dwayne, like the comment you got there, there were a few, I saw a few, there weren't many, but there were a few out there among the Christian faith who felt that there was nothing wrong with the Olympics opening. They did not see it as a mockery of the faith. There were a few who felt that, you know, some of us were overreacting, and a few who said, no, there was no Christian attack on Christianity. It was just mere innocent and harmless entertainment. Well, I guess we're all entitled to our thoughts, our interpretation, and our understanding. And I'm not going to come here and attack their understanding, but I'm definitely going to defend those who believed they were contending for the faith, as you know, I was one of those. And I will say why we did what we did. So it is your right to interpret it the way you want to see it, just as it's our right also to interpret it with that prophetic eye, the way that God has shown us as well. If God has shown you something differently, that's your right. But God has also shown us something which we want to articulate. So what I also do want to say is something that I found out today, Duane, is that yesterday, there was a YouTube that had been released by the organizers on the opening ceremony. That YouTube video was taken down yesterday. It was removed yesterday, showing the Paris Olympic opening. And in fact, I think it's yesterday or day before yesterday. It was removed yesterday. And in addition to the removal of the YouTube video, the organizers of the French Olympic Committee also tendered and made a public apology yesterday to the Christian community and all those who were offended. In their apology, they were trying to offer up justification, which I don't understand, because they said that it was their way of ensuring inclusivity and diversity. They wanted to show diversity of beliefs and inclusivity. So my question to the committee is, how do you show inclusivity by mocking somebody else's faith? I don't understand that. How do you say you're showing diversity by mocking other people's faith? Surely you can do it in an appropriate way and not in an inappropriate way. So let's talk a little bit about contending the faith, because this is what I see was done. This is what Christians actually did. And the question I asked is to say, when such things happen, what is the expectation of God? What is the expectation of God? So that we don't sit down and be quiet, and God is expecting us to be, you know, to speak up, like Mordecai confronted Esther, to say, Esther, there's a generation that's about to be annihilated. There's an attack on God's people. Can you imagine, Duane, if Esther sat silent in all of that, saying, I'm not here to defend God. I can't defend God. And Esther keeps quiet while there's an attack on God's people. Well, thank God. Thankfully, Esther did not keep quiet. She spoke up. And that is what God expects us to do. And that's what I want to encourage Christians to do in this time, as salt and as light. Remember, light is not supposed to be hidden. If you are light, it says, don't hide your light under a bushel. So if we are just quiet and we say God can defend himself, that is tantamount to being a light that is hiding under the bushel. If we are supposed to be salt and we are silent, that is tantamount to being salt that now should be thrown out. Because God said, if you are salt and you are the presence of salt is not felt, then God says you might as well be thrown out. Because you're not there, you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. I can see now. Thank you, Jesus.
No, I can. Can you continue?
Can you hear me,
you.
Duane?
Okay. Yeah, I can. You can continue.
Sorry, had a little. Okay, had a little Wi-Fi moment. I could see myself disappearing. All right. So, how should we respond as believers in this time? I've already read Jude 1:3, and in that, this is what is being said. God is issuing a challenge to us as believers. He said we must vigorously defend and contend for the beliefs that we cherish. So the question I want to ask those of us who feel we don't need to speak out, are these beliefs that you cherish? Do you cherish these beliefs? Because God says if we cherish them, then we must vigorously defend and contend for them, if we cherish for them. If we don't, then obviously we're not going to defend them vigorously. We're not going to contend for them because we don't cherish them. So that's the only way I can understand it, is if we don't contend, if we don't vigorously defend, it simply shows that I as a believer, then I don't cherish these beliefs. I don't cherish these beliefs because God, it says in the scripture, he has entrusted these truths to his holy believers that we should be able to contend and vigorously defend themselves from. So, want to talk about some of this. And first thing I want to say also, Dwayne, is that in this season, this is a season where we see the faith, the Christian faith in particular, being attacked like never before. And God is earnestly, his eyes are running to and fro, looking for those who will function as sons of God to contend for and defend the faith. And we must know that this season, our faith is being attacked like never before. It's being attacked by many people, individuals. It's being attacked by many organizations, many networks. There are threats. There are attacks that are coming from different angles, And we have seen this also in South Africa. You know, we've seen that some of the threats, they come from people outside of the faith, like the CRL. You know, you remember we had to contend for the faith because the CRL, which is the Commission for Religion and Linguistics, the Commission for Cultural, Religious, and Linguistic Rights, we saw them attacking the Christian faith. So they're there, and they say they're there to represent all other faiths. So why are they targeting the Christian faith? Why are they trying to silence the Christian faith? Why is their focus on Christian faith? But they remain silent on other faiths. So we can see, even in South Africa, how we have been targeted by certain organizations and institutions in particular. So we can see that attack, sometimes it's the faith, our faith is attacked by people outside of the faith. But Dwayne, sometimes it's even attacked by people who purport to be in the faith. Who purport to be in the faith. So people who purport to be sons of God. Attacks have come from people who are supposedly in the faith. Say, stop it. Stop defending the faith. So sometimes you can be attacked by your own, who will tell you to stop contending, who will tell you stop contending. So that is an attack. So the faith is being threatened at you to stop, trying to get you to stop, contending for the faith. Contending for the faith. So, like I said, the faith, it will be attacked from outside of the faith, but even threatened, attacked by those who purport to be in the faith, inside. And, you know, the Bible tells us of that as well. It says even in Acts 20, verse 30, it says, even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth. Even from your own number, men will arise and destroy after them. So, yeah. Still hear me? Okay. It keeps disappearing.
Chika, you there? You are right there. I can see you. And you can just continue. We've got you.
Okay, great. Great. So, first thing I want to say, again, we're still talking about contending for the faith. First thing I want to say, every genuine believer is called to contend for the faith. This, Dwayne, it's not just an instruction to fivefold ministers. This is not just, if you're an apostle, contend for the faith, or if you're an evangelist or one of the fivefold ministers. It's not just the fivefold ministers that are expected to contend for the faith. It is an incitement and a instruction to all believers, to contend for the faith, especially where the faith is being misrepresented. And that's what we saw in the Paris Olympics. That the faith was being misrepresented. It was being mocked. It was being made a parody of. What does it mean to contend? What does this mean? Let's investigate that, interrogate this more. So Paul Paul uses the word, in fact, in the scripture, in Jude 1:3, Paul uses the word, not just contend, he actually says, all right, look, like I've just switched over to another Wi-Fi line because that one was trying to, obviously there's a contention here because we're talking about contending.
Well, it works beautiful now. It works. I can see your face. Everything works beautiful. So you were talking about Paul.
Yeah. So Paul uses the word earnestly contend. So the instruction is not just contend. It says earnestly contend. And some versions talk about vigorously defend, you know? So Paul uses the word earnestly. So let's look at what earnestly means. It means to contend with intense conviction. So as believers, we can't be half-hearted in our approach, in our contention, Dwayne. We have to come with, you know, the full, the everything that we have. You can't just somewhere, you know, kind of half-heartedly contend. You're not contending if you're putting 50% in. You got to bring it. And the question is, as believers, are we ready to suffer discomfort? Are we ready to be called names, Dwayne? I get called names all the time. I get called names all the time. I get attacked. Oh my God. I get it. I've been attacked. I've been doing this for 20 years. I've been doing this for even this morning, I got a rude direct message from somebody who told me that they think I'm a little bit off, you know, a little bit off. And they told me that they are bipolar. And, you know, I think maybe they were thinking I'm also bipolar.
Well, I get that a lot as well. And you know that I actually, before the internet went up and down and up and down, I told you that people coming at us within the church is nothing new to the two of us on the show. This is new to us.
No, I've been getting this for 20 years. I've been getting insults on Facebook, social media. I mean, you know, because I've been doing this for so long, activism, long before, you know, some, thankfully, many of us are rising up, becoming kingdom activists in this season. But I know when I started doing it about 20 years ago, there weren't that many people doing it. So I really looked like I was a mental case then. You know, and I used to get a lot of insults and people telling me, pastors are preaching. They're preaching in the church and you are toying and you are holding petitions and you are having marches against pornography. What's wrong with you? Are you a mental case? So I'm used to people thinking I'm bipolar or depressed or mental. But thank God, you know, vindication comes from God. I'm not here to impress anybody. And like I always tell my people, is that I'm not here to be popular, because Miss Popularity, it's a category in a beauty contest, and I'm not running in any beauty contest. I'm just trying to run my apostolic race and my prophetic assignment. It's apostolic and prophetic assignment is not about preaching, just preaching good messages. It's about actually being an activist out there. Mm. It's about defending kingdom patterns. It's about bringing alignment. So it's not the fact that you're just bringing a powerful exposition of a scripture. So I'm really just trying to run my apostolic race. It's part of it. And if you think, I'm sure there are people out there who thought the Jeremiahs and the prophets of those days, you know, were bipolar and depressed. In fact, you know, they were even, one of the prophets was called troublemaker. You troublemaker. So yes, it's fine if you call us names. We're just trying to fulfill our apostolic prophetic mandate. So Paul talks about, so the question I have to believers is earnestly contend. Are you ready to suffer discomfort? Are you ready to even lose reputation? Dwayne, I have made peace, even if I lose my reputation over this. I used to be worried about my reputation. You know, I've been a lawyer for about 4 decades now. And, you know, in law school, we get told that as a lawyer, you must hold yourself out like this, you know, protect the profession because it's an honorable profession. So because of my training in law school, I used to be worried about my reputation. But then I read a scripture that delivered me, and a scripture that told me that Jesus made himself of no reputation, So I figured if Jesus is not worried about his reputation and he's the Son of God, why do I need to be worried about my reputation if I am defending the faith? Now, the Bible says a good name is as good as gold. Yes. But if it means losing that name for the sake of contending for the gospel, then go for it. Go for it. Because we are contending for the faith. You protect your name only insofar as, you know, you are walking righteously. But in the course of it, you can imagine Joseph went to jail. He went to prison, but for a righteous reason. So if in the course of acting righteously, your name becomes besmirched, it's fine, because God is going to validate you at the end of the day, like he validated Joseph. He validated him. So earnestly contend. Paul is challenging believers to understand, to contend. And he, of all people, understood what it meant to contend. He understood above all people. Why? This was somebody who was shipwrecked. This was somebody who was beaten mercilessly. This was somebody who was attacked on many occasions. Paul understood. This is a man who knows what it means to contend. And he's saying, this is what we got to do. We need to, are we prepared, Dwayne? I'm prepared, Dwayne, even if it means going to prison. I'm prepared to go. You know, I tell people, if I have to be arrested for the sake of gospel, I'm prepared to go. I know that God will validate me. And God, he, you know, Joseph came out of prison and he went to the palace. That's okay. So are we prepared to go to prison for the sake of the gospel? Are we prepared to suffer loss as a result? Because contention will and may result in loss, but will bring eventual victory, like we saw with this Paris Olympics thing. So when we contend, we must know there's no room for lukewarmness. There's no room for compromise. The Greek word for contend is epagonizomai. Epagonizomai. That's the Greek word for contend. What does it mean? It means to struggle with skill and commitment to oppose. To struggle with skill and commitment to oppose. So we must prepare. We must prepare. We must build ourselves, like in Jude 1, 20 to 21. Build yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, unto eternal life. So very important. How do we contend? We contend, and Jude 1, 22, verse 23 says, some have compassion, making a difference. We contend by making a difference, which means you got to speak out. And in verse 23 says, others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. So this is how we contend, family. We contend by preaching the gospel, by evangelizing, by winning souls. I'm so blessed because one of my good, good friends, Jason Hubbard, is the international director of a prayer network called IPC. International Prayer Connect. Immediately this happened on Friday. They already started mobilizing Christians all over the world to start praying. And they started an initiative called Love France. So our contention is not insulting people back. It's not about, you know, killing people, but it's about loving them. Contention also with love. So we contend through prayer. And I've seen, I don't know if you've seen it, Dwayne, I've seen a lot of prayer groups, and I saw a group that was worshiping in France and Paris that are now worshiping as never before as a result of this. So actually, this is a good thing. This is God turning what was evil, and God used believers to speak out, and now God is turning it around for his good. And I'm praying that we see revival as a result in France. Let there be revival, you know, because a few stood up and pushed back darkness. So we contend by preaching the gospel. We contend with prayer. We contend by evangelizing. It's a sign to us believers that we need to evangelize as never before. We contend by winning souls. We contend also by bringing correction. You don't remain silent in the face of error. We contend by bringing correction where it's necessary. And we confront and challenge error. That is what it means to contend. We don't just keep quiet. You know, God is the Lamb, Dwayne, but he's also a lion. You know, he's not just a lamb that offered himself to be slain. He's also the Lion of Judah that roars. So we must know there's multifaceted aspect to God. He's not just a meek lamb that offered himself to be led. He's also Yeshua, the Lion of Judah, who roars, who knows how to roar. And so we must imitate him in his full capacity, not just always being lambs. Know when to be a lamb, meek and mild. And meekness does not mean weakness. It means strength that is guided and directed. Strength that is guided and directed. So we contend by snatching people from perversion. We contend for the faith by confronting error. And in this season, I believe that we must not be pretenders. The call, Dwayne, you know, as I begin to wrap up, the call is not for us to be pretenders. God's not looking for pretenders in this season. He's looking for contenders. So I want to challenge us out there. Don't be a pretender. We're witnessing the manifestation of pretenders, but we're called to be contenders and not pretenders. I don't know what WhatsApp group you're in, but I want to be found in the WhatsApp group of the contenders and not the pretenders. And I just probably will end, you know, by saying this, and then maybe, I don't know if you want to add to this, Dwayne, because I know you also were watching this and were, you know, also making some contributions. I want to say there's a big lesson that's been learned from this, a big lesson. And I believe it is a prophetic message to the church, a prophetic message to the church. What is the lesson? Well, the lesson is we saw a number of Christians rise up in protest, rise up to confront, to challenge the heresy, to challenge the parody, to challenge the mockery. And because of that, we saw the Paris Olympic Committee responded, one, by removing the video. It was removed very quickly. Two, by also apologizing. So there's a big lesson that we need to take from this, to say that the church has a voice. We have a voice, and God expects us to use that voice. We have influence. If you thought we didn't have influence, now you know that we have influence. We have enough influence when globally we mobilize ourselves and we speak out our conviction and we contend for the faith, it results in darkness being pushed back. So we do have influence. So don't allow the enemy to lie to you and say we have no influence. And when we stand together in unity globally to confront darkness, guess what? Darkness will be pushed back. When we stand together to bring out our light, to bring out our light, and we don't hide our light under the bushel, but we become that light that is on the top of a hill, on the city, in the city on a hill, that light will shine and the light will overcome the darkness. So that's my message to us as believers today. I believe it's a prophetic message. God wanted to show that we do have a voice, we do carry influence, and that we must be a light in this time of darkness. So as believers, I want to leave you with this word to say, do not hide your light under a bushel. Arise and shine, sons of God. Your light has come and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Dwayne, you can't see, but listen, I'm wearing my shirt. You see my shirt? It says, Kinako. This is my shirt here. My Kinako shirt. Kinako. Yes, so that's my message to believers right now. Kinako, it's time like never before. Christianity, the faith is under attack, but God is saying, Kinako, it's time, believers, let's contend for the faith and let us vigorously defend our faith, our values. Kinako, it's time. So,
Before we wrap, because we actually have a few minutes left, I also just want to, I don't want to count my words this time around because I want to be outspoken about how I feel about this. And you've summed it up. You've summed it up pretty beautiful. You said that I don't care about my reputation or what people think of me, as long as the Lord thinks the right thing of me. And I think that is something that me and my wife and my kids, we had to go visit this, these words over the weekend. We had to go understand as a family that what we are. What we're opening ourselves up to. But you know what, Rev? You saw pictures. A lot of people only saw pictures. I wonder what you would have said if you if you watched the entire thing live. And that is the part that aggravated me. I have an 11-year-old boy that felt so he felt so uncomfortable in the opening scene that he said, "Papa, if you don't mind, I don't want to watch this."
Yeah.
Because we as a family make a big thing out of these big ceremonies because it's history. And my wife and my kids turned off the TV and they walked away. And I chose to sit there because I said, "Hold on, I'm going to do something about this." But if you do not see the bigger picture, this is not just about the last meal. It's not just about the Da Vinci picture. It's about the artists that they chose.
Yeah.
I don't care who thinks what of me. I won't mention the names because, of course, we're on a public platform. But you choose an artist that baptized herself as the bride of Satan. You choose an artist who became the world ambassador for the LGBTQ plus community. You chose an artist that released a clothing range for non-gender neutral clothes. And then you go see these scenes. There was an agenda by the enemy. And this time around, the voice of Christ stood up. And I will not be silent about this because there was kids on that stage with these drag queens. I'm not okay with that, Rev. How do we keep quiet about this? And then my last comment. Rev, you know, someone that I used to look up to, I don't want to mention the name on a public platform, but someone said, "Dwayne, you're making too much out of this. I worked backstage, and this is part of the arts, and this is in the arts, how they do things." But I just want to say this to that person. Why would the IOC, the International Olympic Committee, why would they put out a public apology and remove a video if their intention was never to hurt?
Well, absolutely. I mean, I've said that. But also, even if this person says this is how the arts do things, that's exactly why we need to be salt.
Yeah.
To change how they do things. Because you can't call perversion and be fine with perversion. And it's normalized and say that's just how they operate in the entertainment area. No. Why is God saying we must be salt? That's why God says you must be thrown out. If you're not there to influence and to change perversion and you normalize and accept perversion as being normal, then God is saying that, then why should I give you power? Why should I give you Holy Spirit? Why should I give you voice if you're not going to release your voice? Why should I give you Holy Spirit if you're not going to demonstrate that power? Why? And you're just okay with it? No wonder God says to the church, if salt is not being salty in Matthew 5, verse 13 and 14, he said, if salt is not being utilized, it's good for nothing than to be trampled on and thrown away. Because we accept the abnormal. We accept the dysfunctional as normal. Well, my prayer is that we will not. And I'm so proud of our leaders in South Africa who stood. In fact, as we're speaking, I just got a message from Apostle Peter DeFin. He's in Australia. Shout out to him in Melbourne, Australia, because I was telling him I was going to talk about this. And I just wanted to send him a congratulatory note to say well done and good, you know, amongst with all the other friends of mine. So, this is the problem of the church, Dwayne. This is why laws are being passed. Immoral laws, etc., because of that attitude of this is normal. This is normal. It's not normal. This is why CSE, Comprehensive Sexuality Education Policies, are out there, because we've accepted that it's normal for children to be sexualized. It's not normal. We've accepted, well, this is how it's done in schools and education. Children can have sex because it's normal. Children, no, it's not normal for children who are not married to have sex. It's not normal for children who are 12 years old to be allowed to have abortions. It's not normal. So let us stop accepting the abnormal and the dysfunctional as normal and functional. The church needs to wake up, because the lie of the enemy is to create dysfunction and abnormality and tell you it's normal. That means you've bought into the plan of the enemy. And remember, God says in Romans 12:2 that we should not be conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewal of your mind. So when you see yourself accepting abnormal practices, what is abnormal to Christianity, and you accept it as normal, it simply means that your mind is now conformed to the mind of the world. You and Babylon are on the same level. Your value system, the way you think, the values that you hold are, you have worldly values, Babylonian values. You've accepted abnormal Babylonian values as being normal. So we cannot allow ourselves to come to that level where we accept abnormality to be normal.
Right, so Rev, you just spoke about an update that you just got while we were on air. There was another update that was just posted on the Paris 2024 official Olympic app, and it's an update of court cases opened against the Olympic Committee in Paris due to inappropriate clothing and the display of a dancer's private parts on international TV. So, and by the way, this came from a church organization within Paris. So this is a church organization in Paris taking the International Olympic Committee to court for that. And Rev, unfortunately, I cannot circulate this photo. Of course, we're a Christian radio station, but I'm going to send you the photo. Because I'm
sure. So happy to circulate.
well, you can have a look at this. But Rev, the bottom line is this got the attention of the world. This isn't all negative, right? All of a sudden, we're seeing Christians stand up all around the world.
No, but that's why I said that God is turning it to good, because we're about to see revival break out, I believe, in France. God will use it for His good. He cannot be mocked. That's why I said we're not defending God. He cannot be mocked. God will turn it around, but He uses His people. And He tests His people to see, are you on board? He tests our hearts to find out, where are we in this equation? You know? And so that's part of what's been happening. But I want to end just by encouraging Dwayne. I've got a new program on TBN. And it's going to be, our first episode is this Sunday. This Sunday, 1 o'clock, TBN Africa, channel 343. Please, I want to encourage you to please come and watch it. It's at 1 o'clock. It's called Ambassador of Change. And it's doing, the theme of the program is exactly what we're doing now. The theme is to encourage you to be salt. The theme is to encourage you to be light, to bring change wherever you are. So we've got an Ambassador of Change challenge. I'm going to share those details with you. If you can put them on your page, Dwayne, that'll be great. Share that we're encouraging. If you are bringing change out there, you don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be a political leader. But you are bringing some level of change. You can be a worker in the house, a domestic worker, but you're bringing some level of change and taking your role as an ambassador of Christ and an ambassador of change seriously. Send us a 1 minute video. Use the hashtag Ambassador of Change, 1 minute video, because I want to see all of you out there. And some of them, we may even take some of them and put them on TV. So send us your videos so we can share some of them.
Well, Rev, first, I just want to say congratulations.
And you, Dwayne, you are an ambassador of change too, Dwayne, using the media. So we're going to have get you on next time I do recording. My next season, we're going to have you on that program.
Well, I wanted to congratulate you on the show. And secondly, I've seen some snippets. It helps if you've got contacts in high places. So I'm very much excited for what's coming up on this weekend. Congratulations. But I also then want to just have a bit of a discipline session here, because your first season has come and gone and I was not one of your guests. Could you please just explain to me why, so all of our Radio Pulpit listeners can understand why?
No, this is what I was saying. So some of the schedule, here's the thing for the schedule. It's prepared according to availability. So some of my people are here at a certain time. Now, I know that you, my boy, you were around. So I knew that I could still get you. So some of these people are visiting from overseas. And so I try to grab them while they're there. And so, you know, our local is lekker people. I know that that's why I said I'm still going to get you, Dwayne. So I'll be recording for season 2 and season 3 in the next couple of months. And you definitely going to be there, because you are an ambassador of change. We're going to talk about the media.
I'm just joking. I promise I'm just joking. But I'll gladly avail myself for you.
It's not a joke for me. And I'm glad I invited you before you said that to me.
Well, Rev, I know that you're off to a next recording now, but thank you once again. Every single month, you are just available. And you know what, Ney, this is going to probably sound weird, but I needed this session today because I needed just to hear that what I'm doing is correct. I just needed to make sure that I've learned over the course of the past few years, spending so much time with you, I've learned that we have a voice and we should use it for God's kingdom.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Great stuff.
Thank you.
Awesome, guys. Thank you. Love you lots. And remember.
Kinako. All right, Rev. Blessings to you. And on that note, that also brings us to the end of this evening's program. Thank you very much for staying tuned to your number one radio station and daily companion, Radio Pulpit 657 AM. Until next week, same time, same place. Love you two bits. Remember, Jesus loves you even more. This is one of my favorites. Lachobi Warison, Yosha Nadirian. Bye-bye, guys.